We'll start our reading at the book of Hosea, chapter 13, with verse 14. And want someone to read from Hebrews 2, 14 and through 16. Amen. Old Testament, Hosea 13 and 14. New Testament, Hebrews 2, 14 to 16.
Hosea. 13, 14, Pastor.
13, chapter 13, verse 14.
I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes.
Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 6 through 16.
14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart as the provocation.
16.
For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry about that confusion there about those sheets that have been sent with the programs. In either case, we are looking at, this is the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and we took a look at verses 14 through 16, which read, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him who that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. That's Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 16. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word, we thank you for your grace. And Father, we thank you for letting us be here today.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that you gave us the privilege to call on your name. And Father, we come today asking for wisdom, Lord. Settle our hearts and our minds from anything outside in the world or anything else anywhere, Lord, that our minds might solely be dedicated for the next few minutes to hearing your word. And Father, we ask you to bless us to have ears to hear and a heart to understand what the Spirit saith to the churches. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory, and we ask all this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And it's in his righteousness we pray. And the church say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to use for a topic today, tools for walking fearlessly. Tools for walking fearlessly. Now, you know, last week we talked about, we declared that this would be the year without fear. Amen. That this is living a year without fear. So I thought, okay, if we're going to do that as saints of God, then we need to have some tools to work with.
Amen.
We need to have some things that we can utilize to help us to be able to go through the world and through life without fear. Fear, we said, is some type of an emotion. God has given it to you for a good reason. It's a part of your support system, because fear can provoke different biological things in your body, such as it can cause adrenaline to flow, for example, when you're afraid of something, to give you extra energy and wit to move at a time when you need it. So there is a useful side to fear. See, so in other words, something startles you and you automatically gird up, you get a rush, your heartbeat picks up. There's some anatomical reaction to what fear does.
Yeah. Yes.
And sometimes fear is a good thing, with that being the case.
Amen.
As we looked at last week, we said we have to be able to tune and focus what we fear. As far as other things that take place in the world we said is a scary kind of a place with all kinds of things to be fearful about. And most of that we have also associated, as we mentioned in the previous message, with stuff in the world because of the fallenness of the world. The world is fallen, so therefore there are thieves and robbers, rapists, murderers, and those type of things that kind of put a fear factor on us when we see stuff like we see on the news in the evening sometimes. Missing people and all that kind of thing. Your mind often goes to the dark side when you hear about it because you hear so much where stories don't turn out so well. We were happy to hear about the 12-year-old recently that was found safe and alive. But when we first heard the story, oh, we were gripped with fear for her and her family. Because so many times that's where our mind goes. It goes to a side of fear and we think the worst.
Yes.
That's what gets us when we have situations that we don't understand in our lives. Sometimes we go all the way to the far extreme and allow fear to dominate our thoughts and our actions.
Yes.
But we said that God said in his word, he's given us a promise kind of to cover us for all these kind of things. Many people who hear about salvation, they are beat over the head so much with walking holy to that they fear whether they're saved or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people keep snatching it back from you, telling you, well, if you did this, that, or the other, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. And you hear that, and you go back and forth whether I'm a saved or I'm a lost. Yeah. And there's a fear of that. And so these kind of things, God doesn't want his people to suffer.
Right.
Even though fear is a useful mechanism that was designed into the human makeup, it has a purpose and a reason. Well, last week we gave the only one good reason, and that was Jesus saying, fear him who can, don't fear him who can destroy the body, and when he's done that, that's all he can do. But fear him who can destroy the body and soul and cast both into hell, that's who you should fear.
Amen.
There's only one who can do that, and that is God. The Bible said, and we covered this in somewhat review last week, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's also the beginning of knowledge, it says in Proverbs.
Amen.
See, and that doesn't mean I'm scared of God. It means I hold him in awe and reverence.
Right.
Because he is God.
Yes.
And I should hold him in awe and reverence. You know what? When you think about God, the very idea, that's what makes all the atheists and the scientists run the other way. They don't want to have to deal with a being who can just speak and bam, stuff comes into existence. Oh, that's scary, because if I got to go before him and I'm not right, that's going to be a problem.
Yep.
See, so that's the kind of fear. So what do? They eliminate him and give the glory to science.
Mm-hmm.
See, but the Bible says there's coming a day, and I'm getting around to my point here. I just wanted to review a little for those of you who may not have heard last week. He says there's coming a time when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Yeah.
Now think about a saying like that. Wow, it says in Habakkuk and also in another place in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So there's coming a day when the knowledge of God will be common. That's because it also says that there's coming a day when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall reign forever and ever.
Yes.
God has been announcing that throughout Holy Scripture.
Yes.
Not just in the New Testament does it say Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but also even in Psalm 2 in the Old Testament and many other places it talks about God being enthroned as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where things are going. So I just wanted to give you those brackets on what we said last week in order for you to hang your thoughts on these thoughts this week. These are tools for walking fearlessly. God has given us tools to live a life limited with fear, where fear doesn't just dominate our lives.
All right.
Where the wrong kind of fear doesn't dominate our lives. It's okay if you have a fear of the Lord and you're awed and in reverence of God. That'll help keep you clean and help you do the right stuff. Because it'll put limits on what you allow the flesh to do.
Amen.
You see, because you know that there is a God that you must give an account to. And he loved you so much, think about it. He gave his son, the scripture says. And Jesus satisfied God and was the only one who could take separation from God for the time that he hung there on the cross while he bore your sins and mine. So what I want you to see here is that there's been a promise in the Word from God throughout the years, and this is something that you really need to think about in order to have tools to walk fearlessly. These are tools for walking fearlessly. All the way in Hosea. Hosea is a prophet who, as some of you know, prophesied to the children of Israel. They were in a divided situation. Half of 10 of the tribes had separated and went to worship in Samaria in the northern kingdom, while only 2 stayed in the southern kingdom, Jerusalem as being the capital, and that was Benjamin and Judah. The term Judah, which means praise, is the name that the Jews carry. The term Judaism comes from the term Judah, which means praise to God. And so basically their name kind of after Judah. If you think of that, the whole class of people, they're Jews, they practice Judaism, and basically the southern kingdom, as we say, after the division of Israel north and south, was the only place where 2 tribes remained that actually worshipped in Jerusalem. Today, as we stand, none of the Jews actually worship on the Temple Mount in the way that God said, because the prophecy of Jesus, back at the time when he was here, he told his disciples that this whole Temple Mount is going to be trodden down under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And the temple was demolished in 70 AD, just a few years after that prophecy. Tore down, ripped apart stone by stone, just like he said, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they actually literally busted down all the stones, and every stone was moved. The reason for that, there was a lot of gold in the temple.
Right.
And when they set it on fire, the army came in, all the gold melted, ran in between the stones, and the gold diggers went to find every little bit of gold they could get out of there. And they picked it apart stone by stone, exactly like Jesus said.
Wow.
Trying to get the stone, the gold from out of the stones. And so it was completely, literally destroyed in 70 AD. And it's still under the dominion of Gentiles right now in 2017 AD. See what I'm saying? So the prophecy Jesus gave is true. Toward the end of the time, before the southern kingdom went into captivity, Hosea the prophet writes, here in Hosea 13, verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Look at that. In other words, the grave is not going to be dominating you. God says, I have a solution for the problem of death.
Yes.
You are being held by the devil in sin, from which I will ransom you from the power of the grave, and I will redeem them, that means to purchase you again, from death. Oh, death, I will be thy plague. I say, you think you're plagued, man? Wait till I get through with you. God says, I'm going to be your plague, death, and oh, grave, I will be your destruction. So God has promised that he will destroy those things that have destroyed mankind.
Right.
Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes, God says there. One verse in Hosea, we can see a lot of power in the prophecy that God had made.
Yes.
So what we have to realize is that the promises of God must be the fuel for a walk in fearlessness. Because what he has said is what he will do.
Amen.
And his promises, both for believers and against unbelievers, shall come to pass.
Will.
You don't have to worry about it. If God said it, that's it. That settles it. So if God said to you, I'm going to deal with the grave and the power of destruction and the power of death, I'm going to become your plague and your destruction, then you should understand that God is the only one with the solution to the problem of sin, which is death.
Yes.
So primarily, this is what I want you to understand today. I have to give you some tools to walk fearlessly if you're going to be able to have this be the year with no fear.
All right.
See, and you know what? You shouldn't have fear. Fear is a foreboding thing. It comes over you. It dominates your thoughts. And you can't think about what you need to do to be productive because you have fear controlling your mind and your thoughts. So in order for you to break away from that, this is what I want to help you with today with these verses. Just realize, first of all, God promised that the fear of death is something you won't have to worry about.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean we won't experience it. But it does mean God has control over it. And the purpose of the first advent of Christ is to show you that nobody else before Jesus And thus far from the time of Jesus to now, no one else has dominated the grave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. Who is it? I'm just going to throw the question out there. Who has dominated the grave? Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
See, so God's promise has already been validated.
Yes,
he has made Christ the focal point of human history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people try to deny that Jesus did what he did. See a lot of that out there.
Yes.
And they want to tell you, oh, you didn't read the secret book of so-and-so. Well, God is revealing the truth. He's not concealing it.
Amen.
He's putting it out there for the world.
Amen.
He told the church to go in the world and preach it.
Yes.
To every creature.
Everyone.
See? Don't stop. Lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Yeah.
Preach it to every creature. And if they could have proved that Jesus was in the grave, there wouldn't be anything to preach.
Right.
But the fact is, God's promise has come good. He seated it at a moment in time. Time has been grafted and set up around Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And people hate that, the folks who hate God. And we don't hate them, but we want them to wake up. That's why we preach clear doctrine, so you can understand that you will have to wrestle with the problem of death, and God has already conquered it. He promised that he would. So the promise from God to eradicate the penalty caused by sin, which is death, began just after Adam sinned, in the earthly sense, let's say. And this penalty is, it was the bullseye of God according to the book of Genesis. In other words, God set a target on death right away from the beginning. You're going to have the power of death, Satan, and the grave, but I have a destruction scheduled for death, because death is an interference with the relationship between man and God.
Yes.
Death only came because man sinned against God.
Right.
And because of sin, death came. And so now we have that problem floating out there. And people who don't understand true doctrine from God can be living in fear needlessly. So God set a target on death right away back in the book of Genesis. And there had been a number of other prophecies to indicate that God was planning to deliver victory over the grave to everyone who believed, all through the Bible.
Amen.
He promises that all through the Old Testament. So we just took a snapshot from Hosea, which was time toward the end of the time when Israel was basically scattered and about to be delivered into the hands of other Gentiles. And so what I want you to look at now briefly is that he reiterates and gives clarification to the promise in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2. The book of Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 14, the writer here says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," in other words, children take on the flesh and blood of their parents, "the sequence of procreation continues." Everybody here is born. Everybody you know was born. Everybody you ever heard of was born. I always ask people, do you know anybody who was not born? That sounds like a ridiculous question. And the answer that I've always gotten is, no, I don't. You know why? Because that's how people get here. They're born. You think there was ever any other way people got here? The answer's got to be no. You don't know anybody that came any other way except that was born, do you?
No.
I don't either. Never seen it. I know I've seen many people born. All the folk I know have a belly button. That means they were born. They came from out of a woman. They initiated the issue from the man and came forth as a human being out of their mother because they were born.
Yes.
So don't give me any hogwash about evolution.
Right.
So you can show me somebody who was not born. Now, you can't do it. The only one that was not born is Adam. And he was created.
Yes.
And so that succession of birth has populated the world. And y'all know I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You pray, so don't let me bore you with it. But I had one pastor said the only commandment God ever gave that was not broken is be fruitful and multiply. And I believe that. That's true. The only one that was not broken is be fruitful and multiply. We keep seeing that over and over. Whether you believe it or you don't.
Amen.
Sometimes people get too carried away with that be fruitful and multiply. But we see that that's true. So the writer to the Hebrews says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," speaking of God, "likewise took part of the same." Notice this, "that through death he might destroy him that had power," the power of death. That is the devil. He said, my purpose of coming in the flesh when the Son of God came was to take on flesh and blood,
so I can be just like you. You can't say, oh, Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. You never had to go through what I'm... Yes, I do. He done been sunburned. He done been spit on. He's been ridiculed.
Yes.
He's been talked about.
Yes.
He's been disregarded. He's been hated, mocked.
Yes.
Everything negative. He's also been loved and hugged and kissed and everything positive.
Yes.
By his mother and the other people who cared for him. He's experienced everything you've been through.
Yes.
Except one thing. Sin. That's the only thing that you and him don't have in common.
Yeah.
See? And so he took on flesh and blood in order to share in the entire human experience. He was born out of a womb, carried in Mary's womb for 9 months, just like you were.
Yeah.
You were in somebody's womb before you came into the world. He was in a sack of waters in her womb and broke forth, and he was delivered as a baby. He was raised and nurtured like children are.
That's right.
See, in the world. So he's been through everything you've been through.
Yes.
People hated on him. I'd imagine some people bullied him more than likely while he was a kid. I don't know. I don't have biblical proof of that. I'm just musing in my mind of the fact that he came into the world to experience everything that you and I experience. So you can't say, oh God, you're a big old God and you speak and things rattle and rumble and come into existence and you don't know what it's like to be human. Yes, I do.
Yes.
God will say to you, been there and done that.
Yes.
Been there and done that. I've experienced everything you've been through.
Yes, he has.
I've been spit on, laughed on, cracked, whips at, all kinds of stuff. People have talked about me like a dog, misunderstood me.
Yeah.
Everything you ever been through, I have experienced.
Yes,
you
did.
Except sin. Because I kept my Father in mind in all times and every action that I made.
Amen.
And to me, that's a big thing. We don't want to underplay that. There are people who, when they go through pain, they don't say everything all holy. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
How many times you had some pain and you wasn't so holy?
That's the work, Daddy.
Hey, it's something you have to really have your mind geared up for to say, I'm going to go through pain and I'm not going to say something that I shouldn't say. Especially if somebody did it to you.
Watch out.
Somebody else. Oh! You know good. We might go all off into a thing, see?
Yeah.
You know, but Jesus was slandered, mocked,
yes, he was.
Ridiculed, beaten, and afflicted by guilty people. They lauded whips and talked about him, mocked him, spit on him, gave him a reason. Prophesy who hit you, slapped him when he was blindfolded, stuff like that. Yeah, you know, well, we might not take to that kind of stuff too well. And still endure being holy. So think about what he went through. He went through more stuff. If you could just imagine, muse on those things. Some of those things, what I said, are biblical, some are not. But just imagine what he went through for you.
Yes.
And he endured all of that with no sin.
Yes, he did.
So the writer to the Hebrews is highlighting that here in verse 14. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He was on a mission.
Yeah.
His mission is live in the flesh, do everything right, fulfill God's law perfectly, because none of these have done it.
That's right.
No.
From Adam up until now, not a soul has not broken God's law, but I'm here to keep his law,
yeah,
to defend his righteousness,
yes,
to cover and get in the middle between them, to be a priest like no other priest. That I'm going to do what it takes to satisfy God for all that believe in me.
Amen.
Without sin.
Without sin.
Boy, that's amazing. I don't know that that's any less amazing than an ex nihilo creation where I just speak and everything comes into existence. I think it might be harder to be in flesh in a body and not sin. Oh, I think that's difficult. I don't know what you think. But just think about that. Imagine it just for a minute. Being in a body of flesh with no sin.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's difficult. That's a supernatural miracle.
Yes.
So the writer to the Hebrews said he was doing it in order that he might render him worthless, defeat him who had the power of death. That is the devil. You know what the devil has enjoyed? Every single person who has been born, watching them fall into sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's watched it throughout the years.
Yes, he has.
Here came one suddenly And he tried to tempt him. He tempted him three times. Remember that?
Yeah.
In the book of Matthew, there's three places we see. We know he was tempted more than that. Mm. Said he was tempted continuously while he was in the wilderness for 40 days with the wild beasts. Mm. Mark says, you know, but the devil came, tempted him with the world, the flesh, and his own self, trying to give him power. Notice verse 15. And this is the second purpose. He came to defeat him who had the power of death, Hebrews 2:14, 15, and to deliver them who through the, what? The fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. The fear of death puts you in bondage.
Yes, it does.
If you want to be free, you got to be free from the fear of death. You can't be worried about death.
Amen.
So you know what? God fixed it so you don't have to worry about death. What did he do? He became flesh, took upon him flesh and blood, experienced everything you've been through. And then when he got to the point that all of what God his Father said was done, he gave his life as a ransom to pay the bill for all our sins. Think about that. He didn't just act like, being a God, we might say, oh God, you don't understand. No, no, I understand. I've been there. Been there and done that. Been through everything you've been through. You know, and yet without sin.
Without sin.
And I came in order to do business with the devil, to take back what he stole when Adam sinned, and to deliver you from the fear of death.
Amen.
See that? Hebrews 2:15. You ought to memorize that. Don't let death be a point of fear in your life, because he came to deliver you who through the fear of death were all their lifetime. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Subject to bondage. You're in bondage if you fear death, because if you're too worried, you can't function like you ought to. So this is a tool. The tool is God's promise against death, and I've already defeated death. Because of Christ, death has been swallowed up in victory.
Yes, it has. Amen.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Take it out of your mind. Don't let it worry you.
Yeah.
Now notice this, verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. God could have done it that way. If he wanted, he was God, he could have figured a way to do it that way. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wow. Wow, the seed of Abraham. Oh man, you know, that's deep. Think about it. What did he do? He told Abram, get out of your country. Away from your kindred. Come out of your father's house. Come into a land that I'm going to show you. Forsake leaning on that stuff you've been leaning on. Stuff you've been waiting on. Oh, everybody's waiting on the inheritance from their forefathers so I can get what they have and be moving forward and all that type of thing. He said, no, don't worry about that. Don't depend on that. Depend on me.
Yes.
God wants you to depend on him.
Amen.
You know, I have to depend on him. Because if I don't, I'm going to be fearful about what's going on in my life.
That's right. Amen.
It takes a lot of nerve to say, God, I trust you. I'm going to walk at your command.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to fear what man can do for me or to me. I'm going to move because you said move.
Yeah.
If you said walk, I'm walking.
Yeah.
If you said talk, I'm talking.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, I'm going to move at your command. And I don't have to fear man. You know, you might be fearful. Well, what's going to happen then? And we try to look at stuff. Well, you know what? It looked like the government had a lot of power back then, didn't it? They had looked and found fault with Jesus and had him scheduled for death. His own people had misunderstood him, scheduled him for death. The death penalty.
Yes.
What did he do? He healed the sick. Oh, is that a crime? What did he do? He raised the dead. He fed the multitude. He walked on water. He stilled the storm. Well, what's the crime in that? Oh, he said he was God's son. Oh, really? Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Three times.
No fault.
I find him not guilty. Well, crucify him if you don't. And they went on with their sinfulness to have him put to death. So you and I have to learn to do this. This is something you're going to have to learn in the Spirit. But the Spirit wants to equip you and give you tools for walking fearlessly. So we must thank God for fulfilling these prophecies as we walk fearlessly in the truth like Daniel. Think about Daniel, how he lived counter to his culture. Give all these examples that are in the Old Testament. Samson, even though he was a wretch, he still trusted God.
Yes.
David, Paul, Peter, we could go on and on looking at all the people who persevered by faith, even when in the face of death. that was the enemy that was against him, which has now been destroyed through the promises of God by the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So you and I look back to it as history for us. They look forward to it in the future that God had promised Messiah would come and reconcile the world back to God.
Yes.
So what do we need? Tools to walk fearlessly. We need to trust God and what he said.
Yeah.
You know what? Your own flesh will come against you.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, it will.
I'm worried about this thing. We take up stuff and it gets in our head,
mm-hmm.
and we want to worry about it. We worry ourselves into trouble rather than realizing God has done this. The biggest problem I might ever have is death.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and defeated that.
Mm-hmm.
So what can he do about anything else you have going on in your life? I mean, can he fix a smaller problem than death?
Yes,
he can.
Yes, he can.
Anything wrong in your life,
he can fix it.
He can fix it.
Yes, he can.
He can supply any need that you have.
Amen.
He wants a relationship with you. All of this that he did, this is the thing that amazes me, is about relationship.
That's right.
Not that Abraham impressed God.
That's right.
None of that. He wasn't impressed with any of these people. David, name somebody, Solomon. You know, but he loved them. That's the difference.
That's right.
So God loves you just like you are, and you need to learn to accept the fact that the purpose of the cross, Jesus dying, was to satisfy the Father, to give you that relationship, perfect salvation. Let us stand. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless and praise you, Father. We thank you for the clear word that you have given today, Father.
Yes.
We pray you equip us, O God, that we might have these tools of your promises, Lord.
Yes.
When darkness moves in on our lives and things look like it's coming to overtake us, Father, help us to really lean on you.
Yes.
Knowing that the power of the grave has been defeated.
Yes.
You raised your son out the grave. There isn't a soul professing any kind of religion or religious philosophy who was able to keep themselves from the grave. Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Your Father, he is our Savior, the captain of our salvation, who was made perfect through suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we ask that you bless our minds with that peace that passeth all understanding, so that whenever we go into a situation like that, Lord, that you'll be with us. Be with us to hold us up, God. Remind us, oh God, that Jesus has defeated the biggest problem that we have.
Yes.
He has secured for those who believe in him eternal life, a relationship with God.
Yes.
That we have it now. We don't have to wait. John said, beloved, now are we the sons
yes.
of God.
Yes.
But it does not yet appear where we shall be, but when we see him,
yes.
we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is.
Yes.
Thank you today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you today, God.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you to infuse that righteous
yes.
thought in our mind, God. Give us victory over the flesh.
Yes.
Lord God, we'll give you the praise.
Yes.
We'll give you the glory, Lord.
Yeah.
Father, we have witnesses you've shown us in our lives already.
Yeah.
Who have heard bad news from the doctor.
Yes.
And they said, we trust in God.
Yes.
And they're still living right now.
Yes.
And so, Father, we know that you have blessed us with many witnesses all around.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, help us to cling to that which you have taught us.
Yes.
And we'll bless you, give you the praise and the honor. Help us to be very vocal today, God,
mm-hmm.
and throughout the rest of our lives, Lord, about what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us with whatever it is we need to strengthen us in the inner man, Lord God,
mm-hmm.
in order that we might continue to walk in your power, Lord, not in fear.
Mm-hmm.
We give you the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we consider it done in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the whole church said together, amen. Amen. Give God a big praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.